Tale of a Shag-Eyed Shark by Holman Francis Day. The mackerel bit as they crowded and fit to grab at our gangin' bait. We were flapping them in till the midship bin held close to 1,000 weight. And all of a sudden, they shut right down, and never a one would bite. The old man, he swore and he reared and he tore till the mainsail nigh turned white. He'd pass as the heftiest swearing man that ever I heard at sea, and that's allowing a powerful lot, as certainly you will agree. Whenever he swore, his arm shot up, and his fingers wiggled about, till he seemed to us like a windmill's fans a-pumping the cuss words out. He swore that day by the fodder hay of the great Jehukibus whale, by the big skedunk, and he bit a hunk from the edge of an iron pail. For he knowed the reason the fish had dodged, and he swore us stiff and stark as he durned the eyes and liver and lights of a shag-eyed skulking shark. Then we baited a line all good and fine, and we slung her over the side, and the shark took holt with a dreadful jolt, and he yanked and chanked and tried to jerk it out, but we held him stout, so he could nor duck nor swim. And we hoisted him over, that old sea rover. We'd business there with him. A youpin' for air, he laid on deck. And the old man, he says he, "You're the worst doggone as miserable hog that swims the whole darn sea. Amongst gents, as is gents, it's a standin' rule to leave each gent his own. If you notice you pass that he's having a cinch, hold off and leave him alone. But you've slobbered along where you don't belong, and you gone and spoiled a thing. So now, by the pink-tailed wahoo fish, you'll take your dose, by jing." So, acting by orders, the cook fetched up our biggest knife on board, and he ripped that shark in his midship bulge. Then the old man, he explored. And after a while, with a nasty smile, he give a yank and a twist. "Haroo!" yells he, and then we see the liver clinched in his fist. Still acting by orders, the cook fetched out his needle and biggest twine. With a herringbone stitch, sewed up that shark, all right, tight, and fine. Then we throwed him back with a mighty smack, and the look as he swum away was the most reproachfulest kind of look I've seen for many a day. And the liver was throwed in the scuttlebutt, keep it all fresh and cool. Then we up with our sheets, and off we beat, a-chasin' that mackerel school. We sailed all day in a criss-cross way, but the school, it skipped and skived. It dodged and ducked and backed and bucked, and scooted and swum and dived, and we couldn't catch him the best we'd do. And oh, how the old man swore. He went and gargled his throat in oil, 'twas peeled so raw and sore. But at last, way off, by the edge of the sea, we suddenly chanced to spy tall back fin come fanning in against the sunset sky. And the sea ahead of it shimmered and gleamed with a shifting and silver hue, with here a splash, and there a dash, and a ripple shooting through. And the old man jumped 6 feet from deck. He hollered and says he, "Here comes the biggest mackerel school since the Lord set off the sea. And right behind, if I ain't blind, by the prong-jawed dogfish's back, is a fannin' that miserable hog of the sea, that liverless shag-eyed shark." But we out with our bait, down with our hooks, and we fished and fished and fished, while round in a circle, a cut in the sea, that back fin whished and slished. And we noticed at last he was herdin' the school and drivin' them on our bait, and they bit and they bit. And we pulled him in at a regular wholesale rate. We pulled him in till the Sarah Ann was wallowing with her load. And we stopped at last, 'cause there weren't no room for the mackerel to be stowed. And then up comes a fannin, that liverless shark, and he showed his stitched-up side, and the look in his eye was such a look that the old man, he fairly cried. Then we rigged a tackle, lowered a noose, then the shark stuck up his head, then long and slow, with a heave, yo, ho, we hoisted him up on deck. The skipper, he blubbered and grabbed a fin, gave it a hearty shake, says he, "Old man, don't lay it up, and we'll have a drink to take." And acting by orders, the cook fetched up our keg of good old rum. The shark, he had his drink poured first, and all of us then took some. Still acting by orders, the cook he took and picked them stitches out. And we all turned to, and we lent a hand, though, of course, we had some doubt as to how he'd worn it, and how 'twas fixed, and whether 'twas tight or slack. But, as best we could, as we understood, we put that liver back. Then we sewed him up, and we shook his fin, and we give him another drink. We hoisted him over the rail again, and he give us a parting wink. Then he swum away, and I dast to say, although he was rather sore, he felt he'd started the trouble first, and we'd done our best and more. For a dozen times, for the season closed, and the mackerel skipped to sea, he herded a school and drove him in, as gentlemanlike as can be. We'd toss him a drink, and he'd tip us a wink, as sociable as you please. No kinder nor better-mannered shark has ever swum the seas. Now the moral is, if you cut a friend before that you know he's a friend, and after he's shown it, you do your best his feelings to nicely mend, he'll meet you square and call you quits, provided he has a spark, a proper feeling. At least our crew can vouch this for a shark.